Well, today's scriptures and the homily I'm about to give are about heart health. I'm going to ask each of you to consider how healthy your heart is. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to get out a stethoscope or an electrocardiogram or draw blood to measure your cholesterol. But I am going to remind us that as we listen to the word now and later receive Jesus' body and blood, he is here today in our presence, gazing at us, examining each one of our hearts. When Christ asked what the condition of the heart is, on what will the great physician base his diagnosis? In ancient Israel, the heart was seen as the center of the human being. From the heart sprang the emotions. From the heart came the psychic energy and the will. A person's heart had the power to either curse or praise, hate or love. In contrast, from the sacred heart of Jesus, pure love and mercy flow. So, in his Sermon on the Mount, when Christ says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," he wants our hearts to be joined to his. He will judge our hearts by their purity. He desires them to be a reflection of his to the world. For the next few minutes, imagine yourself in the crowd gathered around Jesus in Galilee. They are witnessing the exchange between him and the religious leaders of the first century Israel. You might be a disciple, you might be an onlooker, it doesn't matter. Christ's message is for all of us. Hear me, all of you, and understand, nothing that enters from outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile. Jesus makes it clear that the human heart is the source of the things that defile a person. The Isaiah verse that he quotes is this: "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." In the last verse of today's gospel reading, he says, "From within people, from their hearts come evil thoughts." So from a pure heart, good things will come, and from a defiled heart, evil things will emanate. The question we should be asking ourselves at this point is, how is my heart to be kept pure so that I might receive the abundant life on earth and in heaven that God wishes to bless me with? How can my heart be pure and bless the others that I come in contact with, my neighbors, family, and friends? Well, it's clear from this reading that we don't want to follow the example of the professional doctors of the law, the Pharisees and the scribes. Their conception of purity is wrong. Their priorities are revealed, and what is in their heart is uncovered by the question they ask Jesus. "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" For them, to be pure meant to follow the rules regulating every aspect of life that their predecessors had devised over the last 500 years or so. Now, to fully appreciate how absurd and devious this question is, we must back up a little bit. In the verses in Mark, immediately preceding today's scripture, Mark writes that Jesus was healing countless people. The sick were laid in the marketplaces of every town he visited, and by merely touching the tassel on Christ's cloak, they were healed. Since these leaders were supposed to be concerned about the well-being and health of their people, you wouldn't have thought that their first question on meeting Jesus would be about his disciples' lack of proper hygiene. Where is their wonderment at the miraculous healings that they've just seen occur? Where is their request? "Can you teach us, Jesus, how to heal so that we can help our suffering neighbors?" Now, here's a real stretch for your imaginations. Imagine that I am Jesus, and I have just cured a bunch of you by having you touch the tassel on my cincture. Consider how many are here that limp and are in walkers or use wheelchairs. Wouldn't that be great? What happens afterwards? Father comes up to me and he scolds me because my tassel is plain and white rather than one with a blue cord in it. That was one of their scribes and Pharisees' regulations, that the tassels that they wore had to have blue cords in them. The blue cords were there to remind them of the gift of the Ten Commandments, so it wasn't a bad idea. But if that was the main thing Father would be worried about afterwards, his priorities would be wrong, just as the scribes and Pharisees' priorities were wrong. Their hand-washing rituals and the jug and cup and bed purification practices are the human traditions these leaders created and that they were clinging to, while ignoring God's commandments, the weightier matters of the law. So the Pharisees' and scribes' way of keeping pure was flawed. Fortunately, our readings today and the church's commentary on these scriptures provide us with clear ideas on the steps we must take to obtain that pure heart. Our first reading today from Deuteronomy is set in the Sinai Desert. The tribes of Israel have just been freed from slavery in Egypt, but they're not yet settled in the Promised Land. Before they can take possession of the land, they must enter into a covenant with God. First, they must believe and listen to him. "Hear, O Israel," are the words God repeatedly has his prophet Moses speak to this stubborn people. Our path to a pure heart begins with a trust in God and with the patience to listen for his voice. He next says, "Observe the statutes and decrees I'm teaching you." The Ten Commandments are the foundation stones on which all the law was built. The first group of three teaches how we're to love God, and the second group of seven instruct us in how we are to love our neighbor. These are the laws that God wishes to see inscribed not only on the doorpost of our houses, but on our hearts. God continues to ask us today to teach our children the commandments and to aspire to live by them ourselves. Next, we learn from the scriptures that the covenant that God forms with Israel and the law he gives them is a pure gift. They didn't have to earn it. However, if they are to remain in right relationship with God, they're obligated to follow the law. Observing these laws, the exiles will live. Choose life, the author of Deuteronomy exhorts. To rebel is to be cursed and to choose death. The same is true today. Following God's law is a blessing. If we don't, we will suffer. It's important, again, to see these commandments as God's love letter to Israel. The Deuteronomist speaks today. He says, "When other nations hear of these statutes, they will say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people. For what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as the whole law?' These precepts remain a light unto our path. In a nation that would be just, they should be honored publicly, in letter and in spirit." Lastly, we hear these words, "You shall not add to what I command, nor should you subtract from it." These are fundamental precepts that are not negotiable. Situations will arise in our life where it's difficult to know exactly what to do. But if we think we can simply ignore or amend the commandments depending on the circumstances, we're trusting in human wisdom rather than in God's. We're on the road to becoming fools. Our psalm speaks of a just person as one who thinks the truth in the heart. Our external actions, our words and deeds must be pure, but our thoughts must be as well. This is an extraordinarily high standard, one that we could never attain without the help of God, which is why at every Mass we must confess, "I have sinned against you in thought and word, in what I have done and what I have failed to do." The letter of St. James teaches us that we are to humbly welcome this word of God, the word that he instills in us. This word can save us, and it is a perfect gift. Receiving this word and truth gratefully, we are born to new life. We become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Recall that the first fruits Israel sacrificially offered in the Old Testament were the pure and unblemished products of their fields and flocks. James is reminding us that we are called to grow to perfection and not to defilement. In the last verse of the gospel today, Jesus gives us this long list of vices that flow out of a defiled heart. Looking at those vices, consider this. Each one of them violate one or more of the Ten Commandments. Jesus is reiterating the law that was given to Moses and the people on Sinai. But he's calling us to more than an external observance of the law. He's calling us to a conversion of heart, a purity that mirrors his sacred heart. St. Augustine summarizes this path to purity concisely. The faithful must believe the articles of the creed so that by believing they may obey God. By obeying may live well. By living well may purify their hearts, and with pure hearts may understand what they believe. I was reminded this morning, many of you know that I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan. I can't help myself. I was born in St. Louis. And it was 20 years ago that my father and I were taking my two younger sons to a Cardinals game. I think they were playing the Brewers, and they probably won, but I'm not exactly sure about that. Anyhow, we didn't park in the parking lot. We knew places on the street a few blocks away where you could park for free. So we would park there, and we'd go through some pretty rough areas. And one of the areas that we went under a railroad underpass, and there in that underpass was a homeless man asking for money. He was laying on the ground with his hat out asking for money. Well, my sons had just been given their allowances, and I think they were looking forward to buying something at the game. But my youngest son, without thinking, immediately reached into his pocket and gave his money to this man. Right away, my father and I were thinking the same thing. In fact, I think my father scolded him a little bit and instructed him that, hey, this guy's a beggar. He's probably going to use this money for alcohol or drugs. This isn't wise to give him this. Well, it may have not been wise, but it was the merciful thing to do. As you young parents raise your kids, if you see those hints of mercy in them, those moments where their heart is merciful, do nothing to extinguish that. Do nothing to take away that beauty, that love, because at that moment their heart is joined to Jesus's. Recall these words of God to the prophet Samuel. Samuel is to anoint the successor to the unfaithful king Saul. God sends the prophet to Jesse of Bethlehem. He tells Samuel that he has chosen one of Jesse's sons to be the new king. God does not tell the prophet, however, that his choice is Jesse's youngest son, David. So when God rejects the tall and handsome eldest son, Samuel asks God why. God's reply is this: God does not see as man sees. Man looks at the appearances, but God looks at the heart. As Jesus looks at our hearts today, let us pray this verse from Psalm 51, David's prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.